Welcome, brave listeners, to Wilhelm Presents Frightening Tales. Please tune into FrighteningTales.com for more scary stories. Today's tale is titled The Limelight by Catherine Widows.
York, England, 1928. The drum roll started at exactly 9:50 p.m. The background lights dimmed, and a spotlight pinpointed Alice's sparkling red tunic. She, balanced on a shining platform at one end of a tightrope, 15 feet above stage left. The audience fell into silence for the final act. Theo McAllister stepped forward out of the wings stage right, the trademark sequins on the lapels of his black tailcoat caught the low lights in a shimmer. A second spotlight focused on him. He removed his top hat and took a deep bow. Theo stepped forward and lifted a bow and a quiver of arrows from a wooden stand in front of him. He swept his arm across to his left, indicating for the audience to observe the floor, where a double row of 3-foot silver spikes were positioned, pointing to the ceiling, under the tightrope.
"And now, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, for our final trick of the evening, the lovely and talented Alice Darling will walk the tightrope. You will see the 3 red balloons hanging at various points along the rope."
A spotlight flicked on to each one.
"Each balloon, positioned just above the height of Alice's head, using perfect timing and deadly accuracy, I will shoot each one out of the air at the exact instance Alice passes under it. And I will do all of this."
Theo pulled the black hood over his head, covering his eyes completely.
"Blindfolded."
Theo selected an arrow and drew his bow.
"Should Alice put a foot wrong, she will fall to certain death, pierced by solid spikes below."
The audience gasped. 2 stagehands pulled a shadow screen up from the floor in front of the spikes to about 6 feet above the stage. Only the sharply pointed silhouettes of the backlit metal behind could be seen by the onlookers.
As the dramatic music started, Alice moved confidently off the platform.
She swayed in time with the music and took a step forward, then spun around and stepped again, and lunged along the rope, her head now precisely below the first balloon. As she pulled her back leg forward and stood up to full height, Theo released his first arrow. It hit the balloon, which exploded in a shower of glittering confetti, and the arrow struck a solid target behind it, sticking firmly in place. The audience cheered and applauded, and Theo shifted his position. The music continued to play, and Alice resumed her dance across the air. She bent over at the waist, touching her ankles for a split second, and then cartwheeled along the rope, coming to rest with her head exactly below the central balloon, above the middle of the stage. Theo fired his next arrow, bursting balloon number 2, with a puff of smoke released from inside it. The second arrow also embedded into a solid target up in the arches. Another eruption of applause from the audience, but this one lasted a little longer and momentarily drowned out the music. Had Theo lost his cue? He turned a little to face the final balloon. Alice ducked down on the rope, arms out to her sides with theatrical finesse. She bent her head down towards her feet and rolled forward, arms still out, completing a full forward roll along the narrow rope. Then, standing upright again below the third balloon, Theo released his final arrow. It pierced the third balloon, releasing a waterfall of paper streamers which cascaded onto the stage. But with them fell Alice. The audience took a sharp intake of breath. There was a heavy thud and a scream from behind the shadow screen, and the shape of a woman's body impaled on a series of spikes could clearly be outlined on the stage. Theo pulled off his blindfold, threw it to the floor, and ran behind the screen. And the music stopped, and the theater fell silent. Then, Theo's silhouette gracefully assisted Alice to its feet. They both reappeared from behind the fabric, beaming with smiles, covered in streamers and glitter, and ready to take a bow. Back in his dressing room, Theo ran his fingers through his sweaty hair. He'd need a bath when he got home. There was a knock at the door.
Come in, Joseph. Oh, hi, Theodore. Another great performance. Congratulations. Standing ovation. I've had another offer for you to go to London. I know you don't want to, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't make the suggestion. We could all be raking it in if you went to the big city. You could give up a day job. There might be a national tour in it for you. I know. You're just being a good agent. I understand, but I don't want to be away from home. My family life is important. It's local. Or nothing for this show.
Okay, I'll go and I'll check on Alice. I know you say that foe is safe, but every time I see it, I shudder. I've no idea how she pulls it off.
She's already gone. You know how she is. She gets to the stage door before the audience has even filed into the foyer. I'll let her know you're concerned, but I don't think you'll have anything to worry about. She's a consummate professional.
Oh, is she avoiding me? Asked Joe. Oh, what do you mean? Well, I haven't seen her to talk to in 2 weeks. I wished a lot before the last dress rehearsal, and I haven't spoken to her since.
Oh, she's probably just busy.
We should get together soon, go out for dinner or something. The three of us.
That would be delightful, but I'm not sure when we'll find the time. Joseph left the dressing room. Theo grabbed his bag and headed home. There was no show on Mondays. The theater was closed to the public, but Theo had access with his stagehands to check the equipment and run through lighting and sound effects. Because of his day job at the department store, Theo wasn't able to carry out these checks in the daytime. But his crew didn't mind, some of them happy to be away from their nagging wives, some just happy to be getting extra pay. At precisely 9:40 p.m., he sent them all to gather their things from backstage. Theo always locked up.
Time to go, lads. You don't want to hang around here any later than you have to.
Tom and Reggie retracted the shadow screen back into the stage on its roller out of sight and said,
"Good night."
It was 9:47 p.m. Apart from some dim stage lighting, the theater was in darkness. Theo sat alone in the front row of the stalls. running his knuckles rhythmically across his cleft chin. He checked his pocket watch. Exactly 3 minutes to go. He wished the lads didn't have to put the shadow screens down. Without it, he would see everything. But perhaps that was what he deserved. A creak behind him made Theo turn his head. The stall's door was open, and a figure had appeared in the light, let through from the foyer.
Theodore? You still here?
It was Joseph. What was he doing here? Would he ruin everything?
About to leave, said Theo, standing and walking towards him.
Perhaps he could get his curious agent out before it was too late.
Sit.
I want a quick word, said Joseph, heading down the center aisle towards the front.
I insist.
Perhaps Theo could distract him from the stage, but the noise would be a dead giveaway even if he was looking in another direction. The two men met, level with row K, and Joseph took a seat, beckoning Theo in next to him. Sweat prickled Theo's neck, then his hands, then his forehead. He checked his pocket watch again. Less than a minute.
You seem tense, old man, said the agent, pulling a hip flask from his breast pocket. Brandy? Always helps me in these times of stress.
Theo took a swig and sat down next to him in the semi-darkness. He glanced around for something of interest that he could point out to Joseph, but was rudely reminded the theaters are designed to draw all attention to the stage. Especially if you are sitting in the stalls. With the lighting so dim over the seating, not even the fancy carpentry of the balcony or boxes could be seen. Theo silently cursed himself for not having the curtains closed before the crew left for the night.
I wanted to, Joseph started. Who's that?
All was lost. Alice had appeared, high up on the tightrope platform, and even with no spotlight on her, she was visible in her tunic, glistening in what illumination there was.
Oh, God, said Theo. It's Alice. Well, it was once.
Alice started her dance across the tightrope, perfectly timed, even without music as a cue.
I don't understand. She can't practice with no one here. It's not safe. Why, what if she fell? We wouldn't be insured.
She will fall, said Theo, and I can't stop you from seeing it. He put his head in his hands. Alice passed the halfway point over the stage. She ducked down on the rope, arms out to her sides with theatrical finesse. She bent her head down towards her feet and rolled forward, arms still out, completing a full forward roll along the narrow rope. Then, standing upright again below the position of the third balloon.
Whatever do you mean? Joseph stood up. Alice! Alice, come down from there.
It's no good, Joe. It's already happened. And now it happens every night. Alice started in shock, as if a balloon had burst above her head. Then she fell from the rope and plummeted to the stage, screaming as she hit the double row of spikes. They impaled her in several places.
Oh, you gotta call for help!
Joseph pushed past Theo and ran towards the stage, pulling off his jacket. Alice's lifeless body, fully visible with no shadow screen in place, bled onto the stage for a few horrifying moments, then vanished into thin air. A second later, a fully recovered Alice appeared, standing stage right as if nothing had happened, and stepped forward to take a bow. Theo joined Joseph in front of the stage, took his jacket from his hand, and passed him the hip flask. It happened the night of our last dress rehearsal. You always hated this trick,
knew it was too dangerous, that she should have worn a wire, but I was too proud for that, and Alice only ever aimed to please. Theo wiped his eyes. It was stupid. We ran through it one more time after the team had gone. She wanted it perfect.
She's dead.
Joseph took a swig of brandy. Yes, her spirit replays the whole trick every night at 9:50 exactly. I don't understand how she gets up to take a bow, but she does.
A consummate professional, said Joseph.
Even in death. You see now why we can't go to London. Joe nodded in disbelief. Anne, said Theo, I'm not sure what happens to Alice's ghost after closing night.
Thank you, brave listeners, for not being too timid to duck out in the middle of the story. You've been listening to The Limelight, as written by Catherine Widows. If you're as attached to FrighteningTales.com as I am, why not show your support with one of our new shirts available through the website's mercantile services? Send in a photo of you in your creepy wear and we'll be happy to share it on the site. Oh, and don't forget to tune in again next Friday for another frightening tale, if you're brave enough.